So as you heard, in today's gospel, Jesus asked his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" And while this is perhaps the most important question to ask ourselves as Christians, there's another question I believe that is lurking in the gospel for us today that I'd like to talk about. It is, who do you say that the church is? And that inspired me to share a little personal testimony. So during the past 22 some odd years of being a practicing Catholic, and I've grown an appreciation of what it means to be Christian with the faltering but steady steps, I hope, you know, toward full Christian maturity. I'm trying to approach the ideal that Christ exemplified. You know, during that time, among other things, I've been through RCIA, studied the Bible with my Protestant and Catholic friends, participated in Crucio, and was ordained by the bishop, by Bishop DiLorenzo, may he rest in peace, to be a deacon in the Diocese of Richmond. My study with my Protestant friends was very important and remains an important formative part of my faith journey, for it forced me to understand why I continued to be Catholic. And this was before I was a deacon. They challenged me to understand why I was Catholic, to understand fully my assent to the beliefs of the Catholic Church. And for me, the biggest reason is the Eucharist. For although some Protestant churches are moving towards a greater appreciation of the Eucharist, I believe the Catholic Church has the correct practice in this area. But additionally, I am Catholic for a scriptural reason. It is the words of Jesus when he was talking to Peter in today's gospel, Matthew 16, 18 through 19. "And I say to you," he says, "you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." For this verse, and to a lesser extent, Matthew 18, 18, it follows from this follows the idea of the teaching authority of the church and apostolic succession. And that we can trace our spiritual heritage and the authority of the church through a succession of bishops all the way back to Jesus and the apostles. It's these words from Matthew 16 and 18 that remind us of the basis through the bishops of this spiritual heritage that we are connected to Jesus over 2,000 years. These words provide the justification to three ideas that are very important to me: the teaching authority of the church, to teach in the name of Jesus, the magisterium, through the bishops, and the authority via reconciliation to forgive sins via priestly agency, as well as how the Eucharist is celebrated. Now, it's important to note that this same authority is what is referenced in the first reading today. You know, the palace of God that was referenced is the kingdom of God, you know, which is managed by an overseer in God's absence, you know, and that's who Peter is going to be. They will have a new overseer, and this new overseer will be given the keys to the house of David, and this overseer will be given authority to open and shut in God's name, just like Peter is given this ability to bind and loose in Jesus' name. Now, obviously, this is not the view of my Protestant friends, and we agree to disagree on this. Their interpretations are of interest to me, but their arguments don't hold, in my opinion, which shouldn't surprise you, as I'm a Catholic deacon, you know, who's bound to teach the orthodoxy of the Catholic Church. You know, if I really believe my Protestant friends, I might be following Christ in that way. So that brings me to these questions for us to ponder. Why are we here? Why do we choose to follow Christ as members of the Catholic Church? Is it because that's what our parents did, and so we do it? I'm sure that at one time that was true, but likely we have more adult reasons. Is it because we love the liturgy? That comes from the teaching authority of the church. Is it because of the Eucharist? Well, the magisterium teaches us that it's the source and summit of our faith. Do you love the words of the Eucharistic prayers? These are based on teaching authority. Or is why you are here as simple as, I believe and profess that all the Holy Catholic Church teaches, believes, and proclaims to be revealed by God, which is said by the candidates as part of the rite of RCIA. Another rite of the Church that the Church puts forth as part of its teaching authority. And is that why you're here? But on the other hand, do we pick and choose to follow the teaching of the Catholic Church only when it's convenient and not particularly hard in our personal lives? Which dogmas, doctrines, or disciplines do you agree with or struggle with or you don't understand? Which, by the way, is okay. You know, we should carefully examine our church's teachings to better understand who we are and why we're here. Now, I have my own that I don't understand completely, and I know I'll continue the rest of my life trying to understand. But no matter what I think, I am drawn back to this faith and the teaching authority given to the bishops and the church in this passage. I think that we have to approach any disagreements we have with the church from this perspective. I think we have to have faith and believe that they're likely right. We're just not seeing it yet. Now, I am not talking about the acquiescing to what we all know is immoral behavior that the church is engaged in that causes harm. That we must call out as unacceptable. I'm talking about the moral teachings that we see as hard or disagree with our worldview or are unpopular in today's world. And finally, what's very important to me that's drawn from this passage is reconciliation. Because we believe that Jesus gave the apostles, and the apostles gave to the bishops, and through the bishops, the priests, the power to forgive sins, we are given the sacrament of reconciliation. Thanks be to Jesus. For me personally, I can't imagine my life without this sacrament. For when I sin, and I fail to follow the teaching authority of the church, I find absolution and grace in this sacrament. Without belief in the true meaning of the scriptural passage, the sacrament would not carry the power it has in my mind. The whole argument for teaching authority of the church and of apostolic succession is, of course, not to be found in a 7 to 10 minute homily. Now, this is just the highlights and based on my own personal experience. You know, for scripture scholars and theologians are still discussing the meanings, you know, of these passages. And forget about the blogosphere. You know, it is riddled with all sorts of disagreements on the teaching authority of the church and the primacy of the Pope. Now, clearly, as Catholics, I'm sure most of us fall on the side of supporting the magisterium, and we support the Pope as the Bishop of Rome and the successor of Peter. I just felt called to share my testimony, you know, to the meaning of these verses and what they have, you know, what they mean to me. You know, it's my hope that they give you food for thought regarding, you know, our view of church authority, your view of church authority, and its place in our lives. But more importantly, on a daily basis, you know, is the church a rock to us? You know, is it the place we place our faith? Is it a foundation where we are taught, where our souls are fed, and where our souls are healed? It's where we're protected. Remember, the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. If it is not our rock, why not? What is preventing us from truly experiencing the bride of Christ in a way that glorifies God and shows his mercy to a hurting world? For who we say the church is, just as who we say Jesus is, drives and focuses our world when we ponder these questions. Thinking about these things gives us context to our worldview and helps us to decide what is truly important in our lives.